Good evening, Los Angeles, and everyone listening all over the world on KBC.com. I am Alan Gervey, the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan Gervey and Wynn. And today that's going to be relevant because usually it isn't. Today I'm here to manage your legal life. Usually I'm here just to manage your life. That's what Lauren Savant is here for, to manage your life. You could manage anyone's life, Lauren.
Are you kidding? I need a life manager.
No, you don't. What did you tell me walking in today? We're walking in the studio. What did you say to me?
I said, what's wrong?
Yeah. Then what?
And you said, oh, you know, no point in complaining about it. And I said, well, you can vent.
That's right. You were inviting this therapy session.
Yeah, but I didn't say I could help. I just said I would listen.
But there's an assumption that you were going to help me.
Oh, no, I can't help. I can just listen. I don't have any great advice for you.
But
I mean,
you looked at me with this very serious look, well, like, I'm here for you.
Sometimes listening is enough.
Really? See, we just managed your life, Lauren. You are managing people's lives because you're just going to listen.
That's right.
You can
sometimes that's all people want.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I think, you know, most people want someone else to solve all their problems. That's what it is. When they call me as a lawyer at the Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn law firm, and that's going to become relevant shortly.
That's because you're a man.
It's because I'm a man?
Yeah. Men want a solution to every problem. Women just want to be listened to.
That's absolutely untrue. I have so many clients,
Alan?
Who call me. Yes. Oh, now you're getting on.
Well,
me.
Because you're on the clock. Of course they want you to solve some
problem.
I'm not
on the clock. I'm there to help people.
Right,
and
but
they just want me to solve all their problems. I get so many emails, and all they're doing is saying, you know, here, you need to solve my problems. Someone emailed earlier today and said, I was given work restrictions, and she's a teacher. Mm. I couldn't go back to LAUSD, and now I'm doing summer school, and they're telling me that I have to come to summer school without the work restrictions. What do I do? If I had work restrictions during the year, why don't I have the same work restrictions when I'm doing summer school?
But she came to you with a very specific problem, a very specific question for you to answer.
Right.
That's why people come to you.
Brilliant.
No,
brilliant.
It's coming to me.
Did you think about this all day that you were going to do the lead in for the Ask a Lawyer episode that we're doing today?
You invited me here so I could ask a lawyer because you guys have all the answers and I have all the questions.
I invited you here so you could help me, you know, listen to me and do exactly what you're saying you're doing. But you said that people have specific questions.
Sure.
What should they do today if they have a specific question? They're driving home and they're in traffic. Mm-hmm. They're listening to Gervey's Law with Lauren Savant.
I think that I do have a solution for them. They could call in and get their legal questions answered.
Right.
You do this once in a while. It's like free charity.
Once in a while. It's free charity?
Yeah.
Yeah, lawyers are charitable.
I mean, yeah, but if you call a lawyer just for free advice or like, hey, I have this problem.
Come on, be real.
They're not on retainer. They don't usually want to.
Lauren, here are the facts of life. They don't do it for free. They figure that they're going to be so impressed by the free answer that they're going to call you and retain you as an attorney. So no one
sometimes
does anything for free. This is all a fraud. I'm not, you know, just
this
such,
is all a fraud.
I'm not just trying to be this good guy and I'm here to help people. I'm hoping that these people that called today, they're going to call me tomorrow and want to retain me. That's all there is to it.
Oh, I was under false pretenses. I thought this was all just the kindness of your heart.
No. Never think a lawyer has a heart.
Well, that's coming from a lawyer, ladies and gentlemen. That's not me.
That's true. Actually, you know, I say that in jest. We do so much work. Trial Lawyers Charities, that I've been a board member for so long. We do so much work for a lot of charities throughout the city. And trial lawyers like myself really do care and really help out. So I'm just saying that because I know you like the cynical side of me. So that's
I
what
do.
I'm doing. But yeah, so you can call today. And is there anything specific, Lauren, that you think people should call in about?
Well, you know, as people move back into the office, I think there's a lot of questions as to what responsibility does their workplace have to keep them safe, you know, things like that. I
mean,
that's what I wondered about.
You know, I have to tell you.
What if they get COVID?
Well, we're going to talk. We have a specialist on COVID cases, and we're going to introduce her. She works for our firm. I'm fortunate to have her working, Roxana Saltani, for our firm, and she's an expert on COVID cases. So if you have COVID or you had it and you think you might have gotten it at work, call in 800-222-5222, 800-222-5222. But I will tell you that I never thought my line of work, which is workers' compensation, injuries at work, would ever be impacted by anything until the pandemic hit. And all of a sudden, people were at home.
Right. They're not at work anymore.
They're not at work. And, you know, how many times are you going to get a call that said, you know, I was at my desk and I turned to pick up a paper and my cat tripped me and I broke my arm. You know, it doesn't happen that much. But when you're at work and when you're doing heavy jobs that require a lot of maybe lifting or maybe you're doing construction jobs, that's when some serious injuries happen. And I will tell you the sad part, in the last 2 months since things started to open up, I've had so many death cases. It's unbelievable
how
many people have died on the job. I just got one today.
Is that coincidental, or they just haven't been there in a while? What do you attribute that to?
I don't know. It's just work. Huh. Work causes injuries, and work causes, unfortunately, death. And I'm just looking for the email. I just got it tonight. I won't say any names, but let's see what happened to this person. SDPD detective. Oh, I don't want to go into it. Wow, it's really sad. You know, there's danger. You're looking at me like you're
surprised. No, I want to know what happened.
Well, I'll tell you off the air because I don't, you know, want to say what happened, but there was a really serious death involved. Have you had problems at work? I mean, I know that you've done a lot of work, a lot of jobs for different maybe production companies.
Yeah. And I worked at a couple different production companies during the pandemic. Where, you know, we took as many precautions as we could, but I did hear that a couple people came down with COVID after shoots and stuff. So I would get tested immediately. Luckily, I never got COVID, but I'm wondering, I have a question for you. You know, when we come into this radio station every single time, we have to sign off this checklist saying that we don't have any symptoms. We haven't been around anyone with COVID. If one of us gets COVID here while we're at work, does that protect the company?
Absolutely not. Oh. It's a joke. It's not worth the paper it's written on. People think
there's
that
so
you're
many places
have a waiver.
Doing that now.
Yeah, well, they don't know. You know, they're just trying to bully you. The whole thing about what companies do is
but
they
bully
you.
But don't they
think
it protects them somehow?
Who knows what they think and who really cares? I mean, the law is what is going to prevail on these situations. And, you know, when we talk about work injuries, we're going to talk about facts, what happens at work, why people, while the company is liable for a work injury under the workers' compensation system, regardless of what paperwork is signed, waivers, there's some type of pre-employment paperwork that some people sign. And you know what? The law is the law. It's not going to trump. Anytime a company tries to contract out of what is available under the law, it ain't going to work. And it just they're just bullying. That's the society we live in. The mighty tries to, you know, keep the workers down. That's what it is. But let's talk about something else, because I know that you were in the news, you know, in the last couple years with your Harvey Weinstein unfortunate situation. And just to review quickly, he
he assaulted me at an evening restaurant nightclub, I guess, in New York City in like 2007. I wasn't at work. I didn't have anything to do with him. I had just met him that evening, and he kind of, you know, lured me down into a basement and, you know, tried to pull some nonsense.
Well, he was definitely pulling something.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Didn't he masturbate into a potted plant?
He did. Yes.
So he was pulling some nonsense.
Thank you, Alan. And let the record show. He was, in fact, doing that.
Wow.
Yeah, unlike many of his other victims, luckily I had nothing to do with him. I wasn't trying to work for him. I didn't work for him.
But it's worse if you were. I mean, you
It's so much worse if you're working for him. It's so much worse if I had a business meeting with him and it turned into that. That would be so much worse.
And you know what?
It's so much more traumatic.
It happens
all
many
the time.
Women come to us and tell us that they experience
all the time.
Things that you are talking about while they're on the job. And it makes it so much worse because You want the job. You
want
to
work. You want the job, and you want them to like you. You're trying to please this guy who could be in, you know, who could make or break your career.
Right, exactly.
So when he starts hitting on you and making all these really uncomfortable passes at you, you know, it's women always have to make this dance where it's like, we want to let them know, like, we're not really interested, but, you know, we still want the job. And how do you tiptoe around
that? The irony is you say you're trying to please him, but he's really just pleasing himself.
Well, in my case, yes, that was true.
Have there been other instances where...
At work? Yes.
Yeah, at work.
Yes.
Did you ever file a claim?
No, because... you know, I worked at Fox News Channel before.
Oh, wow.
For a long time. Yeah, like early, like right after college. And so I was so young, and a lot of the behavior that went on there, I assumed this is corporate America. Like, this is what happens. Like, you're, you know, this is something that you're going to learn how to navigate. And I'll never forget my supervisor at the time. I was like, you know, cutting tape. I worked some awful hours. And we got to go take a break.
No, I want to hear this.
Basically, my supervisor said some really rude and really filthy comments to me, and I didn't know what to do about it. And I told my mom, and she was like, just don't say anything.
Really?
Ask to be put on a different schedule.
Oh, wow.
Because she was like, this is the beginning of your career. She didn't want me to...
Isn't that awful?
But what were my...
I mean, look...
What were my other options?
Gretchen Carlson was in our show, and she talked about, you know, her experiences at Fox and Roger Ailes and, of course, the movie that came out.
Sure.
Afterward, it was a really good movie.
Mm-hmm.
But she talked about that until finally the only reason or only way that she could really speak out is because she made it. I mean, this wasn't the beginning of her career. She spoke
exactly
because she had the wherewithal to do it.
Yeah.
But when you're talking
in the beginning, when all you want to do, you know, this is like your dream job right out of school. And yeah, it's heartbreaking.
You know, those are workers' compensation cases. People don't understand.
I would have no idea that qualified as anything.
Absolutely.
At the time, anything.
Assuming that you're affected by it. So when we talk about workers' compensation, we're talking about something that affects you either emotionally, mentally, psychologically, or of course, physically. And we typically think physical.
When we come back,
I
want to get your advice for anyone out there listening who something like this happens to. Do you call a lawyer or do you call HR? Because...
It's a good question.
One of two things will happen, you know?
Yeah, you know, I'm just going to give you a little tease before we go to the break. But when we're talking about emotional injuries, people have to understand that they're on par. They're similar to physical injuries.
Really?
And what would you do if you were hurt on the job? You got a concussion, a brain injury, your arms, your legs. You're going to report it. You can't do your job.
Right.
It's the same thing emotionally.
Huh.
Some people cannot do their job. They can't sleep.
Yeah.
They can't eat. They're throwing up all the time because of a very, very hostile environment on the job.
Right.
And they're entitled to workers' compensation benefits, just as someone who falls off scaffolding and, you know, breaks their arm or, you know, smashes their head open. All right. Well, that's a pleasant thought. Call us at 800-222-5222. I'm going to introduce a couple members of the Rowan, Gervey & Wynn law firm after the break. They're going to take your calls on workers' compensation on Ask a Lawyer free legal advice right here on Gervey's Law, 800-222-5222. We'll be right back. Yeah, work a 9-to-5. Sometimes it doesn't go the way we want it to when we get injured on the job, and Gervey's Law is doing its Ask a Lawyer free legal advice show every, excuse me, I get choked up when I think about, you know, people who get injured on the job. It's a really emotional thing for me as I do that for a living and have been doing that for a long time. But every last Thursday of the month, this is the last Thursday of June, we feature a different legal specialty. We did divorce. We did...
family law?
That would be divorce.
Oh.
Okay. What was the one after that? Personal injury.
Personal injury, yeah.
Greg Vaughny was on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And before it was Chris Melcher, family law, as you say. Family law.
Yeah.
And now we're doing workers' compensation. I'm pleased to introduce a couple members of our firm, the Rowan, Gervey & Wynn firm. We've been doing this for a long, long time, probably 45 years. Not that I've been doing it that long, but our predecessor, the founder of the firm, Ken Rowan, started the firm many years ago. Unfortunately, he's no longer with us. And we do exclusively workers' compensation. And I have with us in studio Roxana Saltani, who is an attorney with our firm. Roxana, welcome back. You've been on the show a few years ago.
Yes, thank you for having me, Alan. It's nice to be here.
Well, you know, you have to be here because if you don't, you don't get your paycheck at the end of the week. So.
She holds it over your heads, huh?
No, I think I do that. She's taking time off her busy evening. And we have on the phone Brian Kramer. Brian's been with the firm for, I don't know, about 27 years, Brian. Is that right? Mm.
To date myself, about 30 years.
No way.
Wow.
You don't look
30 years in February.
That's amazing. You don't look a day over being at the firm for 27 years, so that's
right.
Pretty good. And it hasn't aged you at all. 30 years in workers' compensation. That's amazing. But
I don't know how it happened.
I don't either.
Wow.
Just, you know, it's just the way Roxana is. And you've been in workers' comp for how long?
22 years.
22
but
years.
Only 4 years with your firm. And then before that, I was working for insurance companies.
Yeah, you did insurance company work for about 18 years?
Yes.
Wow. So what's the difference? Like, why now have you decided at this point in your career that you're going to represent injured workers versus those slimy insurance companies?
Well, I started doing some cases involving catastrophic injuries, applicants or injured workers who were severely injured and they could never return to work. And the amount of heartache and headache they had to go through to get their cases accepted or get their medical treatment or get benefits was heart-wrenching to me.
So you're saying you have a heart?
Yes, yeah. I was a social worker before law school.
Oh, well, there you go.
So I brought my heart with me. I kind of turned a blind eye for a while, and then I realized that this side needed help.
And so. Are you happy about the switch?
Absolutely. Yes.
You don't miss adjusters with high school diplomas telling you as a lawyer how to deny benefits to an injured worker?
No, I think this side is we're busier than ever in terms of the amount of litigation that we have to go through, but it's very fulfilling.
Of course.
It's to represent people who really need it.
You know, Lauren, before the break, you were saying that you wanted to talk about a couple things that, you know, you've experienced. We have Brian and Roxana here.
Well, I just have questions in general, really, because
for your friend, of course.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's so many different situations where I'm not sure, you know, can a lawyer do anything for you or what, you know, who do you call for something? Like, for example, all over the news right now, we're seeing flight attendants get bullied and beaten up on planes and, you know, by like rowdy passengers. Can they call you directly? Do they have to go through their unions if they're getting injured on the
Brian,
job?
That's a good question. Brian, let's ask Brian that. Talking about flight attendants getting bullied on planes, and there's a lot of things, you know, with mask wearing and not mask wearing.
Fights breaking out.
And fights breaking out. What do they do?
They do call us directly. We do also recommend that in addition to calling us directly, they report the injury to their employer, supervisor, manager, whoever the person to report it to at
right.
work is. And if they are injured physically or emotionally, they should seek treatment right away.
You know, I think it's important to realize what he's talking about is treatment, because someone can get bullied, someone can be harassed, and it may have no impact on them whatsoever. One of the first questions we ask people is, have you seen a doctor or, have you reported this?
Right.
Because you can report it to your employer, but if you don't see a doctor, then maybe you really don't have a claim. You just have an employment issue that needs to be
right.
rectified.
Right.
But a lot of people suffer, especially if it's on an ongoing basis, which we call a continuous trauma, where it happens over and over.
So that would be like
over.
A hostile work environment, something like
Roxana?
That.
Roxana?
Yes, absolutely. You have to have, some people have thicker skin, and those people just grin and bear it and move on. Some people are more fragile, or maybe the situation is more traumatic. But you can have an emotional injury. You can have post-traumatic stress disorder. It's not just limited to people who go to war.
Right.
Post-traumatic stress disorder can happen to everyday people.
Sure.
you know, when you constantly have to face harassment and badgering at work, you come home, you could, you know, maybe have trouble eating, you lose your appetite, or you gain an appetite, you have trouble sleeping, you have headaches, you feel lousy about yourself, you don't want to show up to work, then not showing up, that affects your performance, you may lose your job, then you have that kind of anxiety. So those are all compensable.
And Roxanne and Brian, how do you document something like that, that maybe you wouldn't go to a doctor for because maybe you don't even know you have post-traumatic stress and maybe you don't have any, you know, I don't know, digital evidence that someone's harassing you at work or making it hostile? How do you document it?
Well, I would say basically that you report it to HR. You keep your notes to yourself.
So make sure there's a report filed.
Absolutely. Yeah. You keep emails. You keep a diary of what happened. Today at this time, this happened.
Oh, your personal diary.
Yes.
Oh, I see.
But also if you have physical manifestation of, you know, like symptoms of stomach or headaches and you're going to the doctor for those things, they could turn you over to a psychotherapist and say maybe you need some therapy. And that would be documentation.
And one of the things I want to add, and I think Brian would concur with this, is we don't manufacture cases. I mean, I'm sure there are some attorneys out there who tell someone who claims to be injured what they should say, what they should do, and how they should act. You know, I think the legitimate attorneys, and I may get in trouble for saying that, but, you know, we pride ourselves on representing people who are genuinely and sincerely injured, mm-hmm. unfortunately, where we have a lot of catastrophic cases. You know, when I talk about death cases, so many of them, people die on the jobs every day.
Yeah.
And there's chemical exposure cases where people are exposed to chemicals and get very, very sick. And, you know, when we talk about COVID cases, a lot of the chemical exposure cases, some of them mimic some of the symptoms. And, you know, there's so many things. There's heart attacks that occur because of work, because of being overworked. There may be some contributory factors, but if it hastens either the death or the stroke or the heart attack, there is still responsibility on behalf of the employer or the insurance company because the system is such where you cannot sue your employer. You have to file a claim for workers' compensation benefits.
Right.
So, you know, it's important that we understand that this is real stuff. It's not made up stuff that sometimes the media likes to talk about. But spend a day in our office, Brian. If someone spends a day in our office, they're really going to see what kind of injuries occur and how sad it is for people who get hurt and can't get back to work.
Absolutely. I always say, spend one day in our office and you will leave crying, because I'd say 99.9% of the clients, at least I deal with, and I know our firm deals with, they don't want to be off work. Whether it be a physical injury or an emotional injury, they just want to work. Someone
right.
called me yesterday who was a banker for 40 years, and she's 70 years old now, and her employer all of a sudden is giving her a hard time. A new manager comes in, tells her she doesn't know what she's doing, she's incompetent. For 40 years, this woman thrived. And what, poof, she turns into a bad employer, and she's distraught because all she wants to do is work.
Yeah.
But now she's having what Roxanne was talking about, trouble sleeping,
right,
loss of appetite, et cetera. And it's really sad because she did go, and what good move she made was she did go to a psychologist, so she is getting help. But she just wants to be left alone
to work.
She can work,
yeah.
And it's not happening.
And these are some of the less obvious cases. Of course, there are the obvious ones. People getting in car accidents while they're on the job. That's a workers' compensation claim, as well as maybe a third-party claim for the personal injury. People falling in construction jobs. Police officers in the line of duty getting shot. I mean, there's so many things.
Sure.
If we ran through the different examples of how people get injured on the job, it would make your head spin. You know, a client of ours got shot in the face from a holdup.
Oh my goodness.
He was a security guard at a cannabis store. The list is endless. We got to take a break. We're going to take your calls after the break. It's 800-222-5222. The phones are lighting up, 800-222-5222. If you have a question about workers' compensation, Call us right here at Gervie's Law on KBC 790. That's right. Working for a living. You might get injured if you're working for a living.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, we're talking about work injuries. This is fascinating for you, Lauren. I can see you're on your phone. What are you checking out?
I'm checking out what my rights are as an employee here.
Oh, that's good. You got attorney standing right here.
There you go.
That's good.
Exactly.
What are your rights as an employee? Maybe.
You tell me.
I don't know. Let's find out if people have had some problems.
Okay.
So we can take the attention off of your rights.
You have a lot of callers here. Yeah. Everybody's got
questions. Are you looking at the...
Your phone board is blowing up.
Board?
Everybody's buzzing.
Blowing up.
Yeah.
All right. Let's start with Rose in L.A. Rose, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Yes. I have a question on mandating vaccine at workplace. If I mandate my employees to be vaccinated and later on they suffer adverse effects from the vaccine, can they sue me for workman's comp?
Oh, good
That's
question.
That's a great question.
Really good question.
I'm going to turn that over to Roxana because obviously it's uncharted grounds, but it's an excellent question. And I think a lot of employers have that on their minds.
Well, as an employer, you have to follow the state guidelines that Cal OSHA puts in front of you. So if the state is telling you that you have to tell your employees to they have to get vaccinated, then I would say you have to comply with the existing law. And if there are side effects, then you have your defenses at that time. They may, you know, anybody can sue even if they have a headache at work. But then you have your own defenses. You can say this, it was a state regulation that I was mandated to do so. So you always have defenses. So
even if it caused death? You know, I know people that die.
You know, I'm going to, that. You know, and you're right.
Permanently disabled.
I just settled a case today, Rose, someone who actually passed away. So you're
from
right.
The vaccine?
Uh-huh. The fact of the matter is that it's, and I'm going to differ a little bit with Roxana. That's the beauty of, you know, lawyering. It's a strict liability system. If someone gets injured on the job, as opposed to personal injury, there isn't a whole lot of discovery about who was right, who was wrong, whether there was negligence, whether there wasn't. People don't understand workers' compensation is such a system where people say to me all the time, why is the employer responsible? And it's just because that's what the grand bargain is. Instead of being able to sue an employer for personal injury and recover millions and millions of dollars with a jury trial, workers' compensation insurance covers injuries on the job. So what I'm going to say, Rose, is that if someone gets injured on the job as a result of the vaccine, for instance, I think that because it's on the job, it's going to be part of your workers' comp insurance. It's like anything. People get injured all the time. Like, for instance, a police officer who drives a car, they have to drive a car as part of their job. If they get injured because they're driving a car, they get into a car accident, workers' comp still covers it. It's just part of their job. So if getting the vaccine is mandated as part of your job, and whether it's by the state or not, or by Cal OSHA or not, I think there could be a problem there, because who's going to be responsible? Roxana?
I agree with you, Alan. I think anybody injured on the job can file a claim. All I'm saying is an employer has defenses that they can bring up when someone files a claim. But that claim is absolutely legitimate and can be filed.
Because but for the job, Rose, this person may not have gotten injured.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know. What are you thinking, Rose? You thinking that you're going to...
No, I'm thinking if I do this, if I don't do that, you know. For example, if somebody got sick from COVID at the workplace...
Right.
Then what?
Then you'd also...
So this is
That's two right.
ways. This is a two-way thing.
It's a lose-lose, it sounds like.
Yeah, well, so if you don't require vaccination, if they get sick, am I going to be sued? Or if I require vaccination, am I going to be sued?
Yeah, you're right. But, you know, my advice would be to comply with requiring the vaccination. I think the risks are less, that the effects of the vaccination will be serious. And while that may occur, you'd be really unlucky if that happened to one of your employees. But I think it's a safer environment to have people vaccinated. Just my opinion.
So you didn't answer my, the other part of my question. If somebody got sick from COVID at the workplace, am I going to be sued?
Well, you can always be sued, Rose. You can be sued for someone getting sick on the job. That's
right.
What
you know, Rose, I have to interrupt because the way you worded that question was wrong. And I'm going to help you right now. I'm going to be your lawyer.
All right.
Say someone filed a claim because they contracted COVID. Not, don't say that they got COVID on the job. We don't know that. There are so many places where someone could get COVID. So you don't say that they got it on the job as an employer. As an applicant attorney, someone who represents that injured person, I would say and prove or try to prove what it's hard to prove that that logically they got it as part of the job.
Right. Well, what about if there was an outbreak at her workplace?
Well, that's just it. Roxana, an outbreak?
Yeah. Yes, that's the law. There are certain presumptions put in place under, you know, Governor Newsom actually implemented laws regarding COVID. So if you have an outbreak at work, if you have five or more employees at work and you're not a frontline worker and you have an outbreak, they have to show that there are at least four employees that caught it, that got COVID.
Yeah, there are percentages, and it gets a little complicated, but you know, that's going to be the job of either the attorney or someone's representing themselves to show why they believe they got it on the job. And nowadays, with a lot of the vaccinations, it's tougher to get it on the jobs. Today, I heard some statistics where COVID on the job has plummeted. A year ago, there were a lot of claims filed, and I was very outspoken at that time and wrote a lot of articles indicating that I didn't believe that there's going to be a lot of claims because the insurance companies were saying, this is costing us way too much money. The employers were saying, it's costing us way too much money. But that was just a way that they were blowing smoke because as I predicted and as the statistics show today, there are very few claims of work COVID claims. So, Rose, I don't think you have too much to worry about, although it could happen. I think you're doing your due diligence, and we wish you luck with that. And I would say, you know, don't worry about it. Your business is very important. Take care of your employees. Take care of your business and hope everything goes well. All right? Thanks for listening and thanks for calling. We're going to move to Diana in Woodland Hills. Diana?
So I was hearing your recommendations as to what one should do if they are injured on the job. And I recently got injured and I did report it to my employer. And I was under the impression that they were supposed to send me to a doctor, but they never did. And I never heard from anyone after that. What am I supposed to do now?
Brian? She needs to go see a doctor. Help her out.
Well, they are, first of all, most employers have an insurance company other than those who are permissibly self-insured and insured themselves, and they will have an adjusting company. So you should call the claims adjuster at either the insurance company or the employer's adjusting company and tell them that you really need to seek medical attention for your on-the-job injury. If by chance you don't get through to the adjuster, or while you're waiting to hear back from the adjuster, I would seek treatment on my own with your personal physician so that there is medical records or, as we call, documentation of your work injury contemporaneous to when it occurred.
And I would think that you should also make sure that you document your attempts to get the treatment because there are medical provider networks. The insurance company or the self-insured employer is responsible to provide you, if they have a medical provider network, with the doctors who are available and make sure that you get the treatment. This is the problem with the system right now is when treatment is delayed, it causes more costs to the whole system because people are not getting better quicker. And they're not getting to doctors. Anna, is there a way? I'm sorry, Diana. What's Anna? Diana. It's in the same name. Is there a way that?
No worries.
you can contact someone so that you can get to a doctor if they're not, you know, providing that for you?
Well, I was never provided with any information for, did you say an insurance was, is that an adjuster, you said? I was never provided with any information of such a person. So who do I ask for it?
Well, Diana, usually in an employer setting, there's a cafeteria or a common area where there is a bulletin board. The employers are supposed to post on that bulletin board the clinic and the insurance company 800 number for you to be able to contact, and the clinic that usually employees are supposed to go to when they're injured. If it's not posted, that's actually against the law. They're supposed to post that for all employees
right.
to know.
And by the way, those clinics usually suck. We hear all the time from our clients that they go to the clinics and the doctors just say, oh, go back to work. They don't even listen to what the injured person is complaining about. If that's the case, that's maybe when you need to get a lawyer, because the lawyers aren't going to put up with it. They're not going to allow these industrial clinics with these quack doctors to destroy your life by not giving you the necessary treatment. We need to take a break. We got a lot of people waiting. Diana, thanks for calling. We're going to get to all the calls after the break. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC. That's 800-222-5222. That's right. Everyone's working for the weekend and hoping they don't get injured so yeah. they can enjoy the weekend. You're getting down there, Lauren.
Yeah, it's almost my weekend.
Be careful. When you move like that, you could get injured.
Oh, that's true.
You might put your shoulder out.
You're right.
Out.
Yeah, I shouldn't jam to any of the hits.
No, and they are hits. What would you do if you got injured? What would be the first thing you would do?
Call you, Alan.
Oh,
duh.
Really? Oh,
okay. It's the whole reason I do this show with you.
Oh, is that it? You never know what fringe
so
benefits you're going
to
get.
I could have you on speed dial if I need you.
Speed dial. We should say the number to our firm. I don't even know it. I've been at this firm for so long, I have no idea what the phone number is. But we should say it on the speed dial because typically we don't talk about workers' compensation. Today we are, and that's what we do. Roxana, what's the number to this firm that we work at?
818-981-9960.
Do you know there's also an 8, it's not an 800, what is it, 855-4-RGW-LAW?
Yes.
Something like that. You don't even know that.
You could also Google it. You could just Google it.
Yeah, go to our website. What's the website called?
www.rgwlawfirm.com.
rgwlawfirm.com. That's it. You can see Roxana's face. You can see Brian, who's on the line, his face. You can see my face. You can't see Lauren's face. But if you go to Facebook, Gervie's Law, you can see.
That's true.
And
yeah.
It's the hair is not curled today.
No, we have straight hair today.
Yeah, straight hair. It's not the Farrah look. David in Pasadena, what's up?
Hello?
Hello.
Hi,
hello.
David.
Anyone there?
Yes, I'm here. So okay. I was wondering what happens if they fire me after I report a work injury?
Go ahead, Roxana.
Oh, good question.
That is a good question. They shouldn't do it. They're bad people.
You would think that that would just look bad, right?
Yes. Well, the law does protect you, David. Basically, there's a separate cause of action that your attorney can bring. It's called the 132A claim, which means that if the employer discriminates, demotes you, or fires you for reporting an injury on the job, you can get compensated in addition to compensations that you're entitled to under your for your injury.
So that's an extra
right.
bonus
yes.
that you would...
Well, I don't know if it's a bonus.
I don't know if bonus is the wrong word.
It's another cause of action that's
right.
associated with your work comp claim. And people are afraid to file a claim. They shouldn't be, because they are protected theoretically and legally if they get discriminated against. Brian, have you had some cases? I think they call them the 132A cases. Have you had some of those?
Yes. Not as many. Most employers are pretty good about it, but we do see them, definitely. One that comes to mind is when, I don't know, should I say the employer on the radio?
Go ahead.
Okay, it was a person who worked for Home Depot who was taking the merchandise off a shelf, and the merchandise fell on top of him. In fact, several pieces of merchandise fell on top of him. And he was sent to the industrial clinic where he was taken off work for several days. he kept following up with the industrial clinic, who continued to have him off work because of the serious nature of his injuries. The employer, his supervisor, I should say, in particular, then sent him a termination letter for being AWOL, absent without any excuse. Yet when we subpoenaed the records of Home Depot's industrial clinic, their own doctors had him off work.
Yeah.
So when we eventually got that case to court, I'll never forget this because it was so unusual. A defense attorney showed up and said, "How much do you want?"
Yeah. You know,
your number.
That doesn't happen.
Why are we
often
getting this echo everywhere? I feel like I'm in some kind of chamber, an echo chamber.
David has to turn his radio off.
I don't have a radio. Who has radios anymore?
Yeah, that's true. It happened when you came on. I'm sorry.
It reminds me of, and this is blowing my mind because I've been doing the show for 8 years and I've never heard this weird echo, but it reminds me of a case. I'll tell it quickly. A guy was one of those security people, plain clothes. You didn't know, I don't know what they're called. They're in, you know, stores like Macy's and everything
retail
like that.
Security.
I think it was Macy's, but security, right. And a guy stole a $100 leather jacket and ran out of the store, and the security guy ran after the guy because he stole a $100 jacket. They were outside, and the guy who took the jacket turned around and sprayed, I think it was some mace or something, in the eyes of the security person. The person, unfortunately, had a stroke as a result of that right there, and was basically in a vegetative state after that.
God, over a $100 jacket.
Over a $100 jacket. And the employer, you know, said, like Brian's talking about, well, this was beyond the scope. You left.
How is it beyond the scope? He was chasing down a thief.
Yeah, but he left the store. And when he left the store, he was on his own.
What?
Yeah.
Then so what do you have security for?
His once they $100 walk out? Jacket.
But that means every shoplifter just has to get out of the store and you're home free?
Well, you know, that when it comes to workers, this is what we deal with when it comes to workers.
But did you see the story? It was just in the news. I can't remember where it happened. Some guy caught two thieves stealing from a store, and he held them for the police to come with his own gun. He was armed. He had a weapon, and he was holding them for the police to come. And when the police came, they shot the guy holding them.
Oh. Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I feel like the moral of the story is we just let shoplifters go now, I think.
Well, everyone's afraid, you know,
yeah.
Afraid of their own shadow.
They have insurance. I guess we'll figure it all
David,
out.
David, have you been let go yet? David? No?
Yeah. Okay, it is David. Well, echo's back.
Oh, he's got the echo. Okay, we're going to go to Betty in Sherman Oaks. Betty?
Hi.
Oh, you're not on a speakerphone. That's great.
No, I'm not. Thanks for taking my call. I've just been through hell. I work in kind of a private an office in a subrogation firm, and I've been breathing in mold and mildew, and I've been getting headaches. I have private insurance, so I've been seeing a pulmonologist, a psychologist, an endocrinologist. I mean, I'm seeing doctors, and I believe that my injury is caused by the mold. I'm afraid that if I file a workers' comp case, I have to see workers' comp doctors, and I love my doctors, and I don't want to see any other doctors.
Well, Betty, yes, we have several of those cases in our office. It's called a sick building syndrome, and they do cause a havoc on the body. You can do both. You don't have to give up on your doctors.
I don't have time. I'm tired. I'm fatigued. I hardly have time and help to see the doctors I have. How am I going to see other doctors?
Well, the workers' compensation system, fortunately or unfortunately, requires certain type of reporting to be done in order for a judge to find in your favor. So those kinds of reports cannot be done by just any doctor. It has to be a doctor who knows how to write a certain kind of report for the courts.
Yeah. But she makes a great point, because you have to differentiate between the treatment and the reporting.
Right.
Hopefully the workers' compensation doctors can help. And I appreciate your problem, Betty. We have to close out the show, and we wish you luck, because it sounds like it's horrible. But I would still I would still report that injury, and I would try the workers' comp doctors out. If they are failing you, then go back because you have to your other doctors because you have to take care of yourself. But you really need to make the workers' compensation system work by treating with the doctors within the system, and a lot of them are very good. So we wish you luck, Betty. I want to thank Roxana Saltani for being with us today. Brian Kramer from the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn. These are, I mean, it's, I'm stressed just listening to the calls.
Well, it's nice to be here. And if we can provide any kind of guidelines to the public out there to understand that workers' compensation, although it's a fancy term, it basically means injury on the job. And if you're injured on the job, beyond just needing a Band-Aid, you can file a claim.
Yeah, hopefully it's not for a Band-Aid. Brian, thanks for being with us. It's Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn, rgw.com, www.rgw.com. Check it out. Lauren?
Thank you for having me. I learned so much.
Did you?
As usual.
Don't get injured on the job.
Nope.
All right, she won't. We'll see you next week. We won't be asking a lawyer next week, but it'll be the same great Gervey's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.